here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CUNY Mutual Group's Discovery Conference. And the opening keynote presented by Dr. Kaihan Krippendorf talked about winning the future of finance. And this opening segment, he talked about the concept of the fourth option concept. And it all revolves around kind of changing the rules of the game to win, to be a success. So he set the stage with a very old story about a Chinese general, a prince, and a horse race. Really interesting stuff here from Kaihan, and which really kind of, again, set the stage for the rest of his talk. So check it out.
Financial service industry, but let's warm up by going back in time. And let's start in ancient times in China. During ancient times in China, the way that wealthy people would entertain themselves is they raced horses. And there was one general who was frustrated because he kept losing to the prince. So he asked an advisor for help, and the advisor looked at some of the matches, and he said, you know, this is a pretty simple game. Basically, you race three sets of horses, your fastest, your medium, your slowest, and as a result of which, there are three ways that you can win this game. You either need better horses, you need better riders, or you need to offer better care and feeding. And your challenge, General, is that since the prince has more money than you, he wins on all three accounts. He can buy better horses, he can hire better riders, he can provide better care and feeding. But I see a fourth option. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to challenge the prince to one final competition. Let's do it 2 weeks from Thursday. And just to raise the stakes, I'd like you to invite the entire town, all of your family, really kind of lay the gauntlet down. Now, the general's a little nervous about this. This is personally high stakes for him, but he trusts his advisor. And so 2 weeks from Thursday, the entire town is in the stadiums. Like, this is like the World Cup of horse racing. The town is empty. Everyone's talking, excited about this race, and the drums roll indicating that it's about to start, and everybody goes quiet. The prince prepares his best horses. They go up to the gates. The general prepares his best horses, and the advisor says, wait. If you play the way you've always played, we know what the outcome is going to be. If you want to change the outcome, you need to change the way you play the game. I would like you to race your slowest horses first. And that changes the outcome of the game. We're looking for that kind of pattern, the places where they expect us to do one thing, and we do something different, something that they cannot respond quickly enough to. This fourth option concept is the source of all competitive advantages. Before 1968, for example, there were only three ways that people went over high bars. They were all forward techniques. And then in 1968, in the Olympics, famously, a gentleman named Dick Fosbury jumps over the high bar backwards. He wins the Olympics. It takes the competition 8 years to copy him. 8 years later, 90% of high jumpers are doing what's now called the Fosbury flop. Look, it's the same pattern. The metaphor of three simply represents the point at which others stop thinking. When you hear them repeat themselves and say, I've been in this industry for 20 years. What you need to do is 1, 2, 3, or I've solved this problem before. What you need to do is A, B, and C. Now, they may be right, but it also means they've stopped thinking. And this creates an opportunity for us to look beyond the obvious to find the fourth option. So if we want to shape the future of finance, what we're going to be looking for are new fourth options. And right now is an ideal time to find fourth options in our industry, because times of change open up opportunities to introduce fourth options. Here we see the average height of the last five NBA most valuable players. And as you can see, from 1960 to 1980, the best players are getting taller and taller and taller. And suddenly, the trend shifts. It reverses. They're not only smaller, they're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. What changed was the rules. The three-point shot was introduced in 1979, and some teams adopted to the new game, some players adapted to the new game, and others did not. So in times of change that we have been, and these are times of change that we've been facing today, it creates opportunities for us to introduce fourth options. And what kind of three-point shots have we been experiencing? What kinds of change have we been facing in financial services, and particularly within credit unions? Well, we have been facing a whole number of three-point shots. We've got blockchain technologies, digital transformation, automation, fintech startups coming to take pieces of our activities, our business. We've got open banking, payments and user experience advances, regulatory uncertainty, distrust, particularly of large traditional brands, which does create an opportunity for us, of course, AI and robo-advisory, big data, got cybersecurity and changes in member needs and demands. And what has COVID done has not introduced new trends as much as accelerated those trends that were already underway. So it's like we're not dealing with one three-point shot. We are dealing with multiple three-point shots. And so the question is, how are we going to play the game? Continue playing the way we've been playing? Are we going to seize the opportunities that change represents for us and start playing the new game? Are we going to keep going over the high bar forward, or are we going to learn to go over backward? Do you want to be a thinker or an outthinker? If you're here, I assume it's because you're ready to play the new game, to shape the future, to be an outthinker. So how do we do that? And who does that? Well, there is a common belief that the people who know how to do that look like this. If we look at lists of most innovative people, business people, what we see are the same names that appear over and over again. And what do you notice about their stories? First of all, if you look at their photos, they're all white men. So the narrative around who's going to shape the future is that you've got to be a white man. Now, obviously, that can't be true. Second is that they all get their ideas when they're young, usually in college. They then take that idea and they travel across the West Coast to the mecca of innovation, Silicon Valley. They then put together a small team. You got the hipster, the hacker, the hustler, and then they step into the proverbial cave. This case is HP's cave, their garage, and they work away, they slave away at building their innovation, and then they bring it out on the world and they disrupt the incumbents, the people who have been in the industry for many years. Now, this story, I believe, and I've proven is false. It is so consistent that we have to wonder, is it really the truth, or is it just a kind of hero journey story that we like to tell? So what I did is I looked at the most transformative innovations over the last 30 years throughout society. And I based this off of a list of 30 innovations that were judged by a panel of professors from Wharton Business School based off of thousands of submissions. And these are the big innovations. These are the internet, email, DNA sequencing, MRIs. And I asked, who conceived of the idea? And I know this graph is a little hard to read here. The point is, if you look at the blue area here, those are the innovations that were primarily driven by entrepreneurs. And if we just look at the left side of this graph, what we'll see is that entrepreneurs are only behind 30% of the top innovations of society over the last three decades. 70% of innovations that really have impacted society have come from employees working in established companies like yours. If it were not for employees innovating, we would not have the internet. We would not have email. You would not have a mobile phone. If you got sick, you couldn't get an MRI. You couldn't get a stent. We would live in a radically inferior world if it were not for the passion and creative thinking of employee innovators. So if we're going to shape the future, we need to recognize that even though we are not entrepreneurs necessarily, we are the innovators. And if you want to continue innovating, we need to activate innovation from our employees, from our staff, in order to start shaping that future.
Thank you very much, Kai Han, and stay tuned for more CUNY Mutual Group coverage of their Discovery Conference here on CU Broadcast.